Greetings, everyone.
Okay, now we come to chapter 7. Very important chapter in the Bible. It has to do with Melchizedek. It also has to do with tithing. People say, well, you can't find tithing anywhere in the New Testament. It's all Old Testament. Where do you find tithing in the New Testament? Well, a scripture just came to mind. Let's turn over here to Matthew and see one place where we can find tithing. And then we'll go through chapter 7 of Hebrews, and we'll see another place. Here in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, these are the words of Jesus Christ. And he says in Matthew 23 and verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted or neglected the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Now, people will read verse 23 of Matthew 23, and they'll say, that does away with tithing. No, it doesn't. It continues to teach tithing. It establishes tithing in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is saying here, you've got the emphasis in the wrong place. You're out there wasting your time just counting out every little berry and every little leaf, and you're not paying any attention to the weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. You need to focus on judgment, mercy, and faith, but also make sure you tithe properly. That's what he said. You read it and you'll see. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Do them both, but emphasize the weightier matters, and also do the other, and that is tithing. Okay, now over here in Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, look at what Paul said here under inspiration of God. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." And Salem probably was the location where later Jerusalem was built. Let's just notice in the Old Testament about this Melchizedek. I believe we'll find it over here in Genesis chapter 14. And you'd be surprised how people come up with all kinds of ideas about who Melchizedek was. Who was Melchizedek? Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18 says, "Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine." Now, was that bread and grape juice? If you check the word, it means alcohol, to be consumed in moderation, bread and wine. The first miracle that Jesus Christ performed was turning water into wine. He didn't turn it into grape juice. He turned it into wine. And we know it was wine. There's no doubt it was wine. But here we see right over here, "Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." You know, now scientific studies are coming out that a glass of good red wine is actually good for you. It has contents that is good for your heart and so on. Now, some people go overboard and end up sinning by, becoming alcoholics. It's always in moderation. But you see wine mentioned with food several places in the Bible. And so, therefore, taken in moderation, it can be good. Verse 19, "And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all." Who was this Melchizedek? He was somebody who could bless Abram, and he was somebody who was paid tithes to. Tithes of all, verse 20, it says. Now let's go back over here and let the Bible interpret the Bible. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 2, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness." Well, who could be king of righteousness? Have you ever thought of any human being who has ever lived throughout the 6,000 years of history who you could say king of righteousness applies to? It would only be to Jesus Christ. And after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, verse 3, without father, without mother, everyone has a father and mother, but Christ was with God from the beginning. As far back in eternity as you can go, there were two beings there. One was in charge, the other was second in charge, and there they were. And as far as you can go that way forward in eternity, they'll be there. Now, there was no father and son at the time. That relationship happened once Mary gave birth to Christ. Then he became the son, and the being in charge became the father. So therefore, Jesus Christ humanly had a mother named Mary, and his father was God the Father. But that was just humanly. When it comes to his entire life, he had no beginning. He's always been there. He will have no end. He will always be there. And so that's what it's talking about here, verse 3. Without father, without mother, from the beginning, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. And when you read this, I don't see how a person can be confused by it. It's obviously talking about Jesus Christ, the one who later became Jesus Christ. He was the God of the Old Testament. He was the one who led Israel. He was called the Rock, and he was Melchizedek. He was on the earth in the form of Melchizedek, the high priest of God. He was the one who later became Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh. He manifested himself as a human being, and he was known as Melchizedek, the servant and minister and priest of God. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continual. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. In other words, Abraham is less than Melchizedek, and Melchizedek blessed him. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. The human ministers receive tithes to do the work and they die, but Jesus Christ received tithes and he lives. Jesus Christ in the personage of Melchizedek. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity a change also of the law. Now, brethren, this is a very important part of the Bible. Please keep this in mind, and we've studied this carefully. Mr. Armstrong studied it carefully. We wrote a paper about it, and so on. It's talking about the transferring of the priesthood from the Levitical priesthood, which was under the Old Covenant, which was in ancient Israel, to the Melchizedek priesthood, which brings in the New Covenant, which is at the time of spiritual Israel. And when that transference of the priesthood went from Levi to Christ, we're under the Melchizedek priesthood now, there was also a transference of the tithing law. The law that's talked about here is talking about the tithing law. It says here, verse 5, for verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. And they did. Well, that was transferred along with the priesthood from the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood. Continue verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law of tithing, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek if everything was okay under the Levitical priesthood? It wasn't. We had to have the new covenant and not called after the order of Aaron. Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, transferred from the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood, there is made of necessity a change or transferring also of the law of tithing. from the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood, which is the priesthood of Jesus Christ in force today. So, tithing is still in force today. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Jesus Christ was a Jew, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arise another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life, Jesus Christ. For he testified, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see that? We are now under the priesthood of Jesus Christ, which is after the orderhood of the Melchizedek priesthood, and he was Melchizedek, and of course, he is Jesus Christ. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw near unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now please follow this carefully, brethren, because we're getting into some fundamental, foundational subjects here. Now we're going to get into the new covenant as opposed to the old covenant. All of this goes together. The change of the priesthood from the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood, or Jesus Christ. The change of the tithing law from, or transferring of the tithing law from the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek of Jesus Christ. The change from the old covenant to the new covenant. It's all in the chapters that we're getting into now, and it's made plain if we'll notice carefully what it says. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. The translation there is a better covenant. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, there would be priests live and then die and be replaced by other priests. And God had to call them and place them in that office. They'd get old and die, and then the younger priest would come along and replace them. But Jesus Christ, he never has to be replaced. He has eternal life. But this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. He intercedes for us. He's our high priest in heaven. He talks to the Father, and the Father listens. And on our behalf, he's our advocate, explaining things to the Father because he's gone through everything that we go through, and he knows how it feels. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, never sinned once, who need not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmity or weakness, but the word of the oath which was since the law makes a son who is consecrated forevermore. Christ never sinned once, so no offering needs to be made for his sins. And he's unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is in charge of the new covenant, which takes the old covenant and elevates it to the higher level of the spiritual plane. The old covenant was given to a physical nation which would guide and direct life in an orderly physical way, and it had physical promises. So if they kept the old covenant, they were blessed physically. And it had animal sacrifices and rituals that were a type of Christ and pointed to him, a substitute for Christ, as Mr. Armstrong said. But now a better covenant has come along. Through Jesus Christ, the new covenant. And this covenant offers not only physical blessings, but spiritual blessings. The old covenant had physical penalties. If you committed sin, you would be taken outside the camp and stoned to death. The new covenant has spiritual penalties. If we commit sin and don't repent, we're going to be put in the lake of fire. But if we repent, we'll be forgiven. The old covenant did not allow for repentance. It was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The new covenant, because of the death and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, allows for repentance. So now when we sin and we go on our knees before God and we deeply repent because of the sacrifice of Christ, we're forgiven and the sins are wiped out and we're not put to death. So the new covenant completes and fulfills the plan of God, starting with the Old Covenant, because it takes it to a higher plane because of Jesus Christ. He's at the center. He was at the center of the Old Covenant. He's at the center of the New Covenant. And so now the laws are spiritual, not just by the letter. And now, not only can we not kill anybody, we can't even hate them. Now, not only can we not break the Sabbath, we better not even be thinking about breaking the Sabbath. And so that's what this is all about, this transferring of the priesthood from the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood, transferring the covenant from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. And as these things are being transferred, the law of God and the law of tithing, they're all transferred as well. The thing that was not transferred was the animal sacrifices, the rituals, all of the different offerings that had to do with the tabernacle and the Levitical priesthood. That's all been replaced by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, which guides us to follow Jesus Christ. So keep that basic thing in mind as we go through this section of Hebrews, and these verses then will open up for you.
Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.